Warning, the following program is not for the weak-hearted. Those who are closed-minded, or in general, you're scared to learn what's behind closed doors. Here at Sapphire Zero Play, I want you to pour the wine. Grab somebody that you want to hold on to, or better yet, get the vibration stimulated through your body. Get ready for one hell of an orgasm in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up, all you sexy motherfuckers out there in Radio Land? It's your girl, Sapphire. And man, oh man, it has been a Pride month. Now, I want people to like understand that Pride is 365 days a year. I personally have been very frustrated yet happy this year with Pride, but I feel like this series really just hit home for a lot of people. So I want to say thank you to all the earbuds out there who have just been rocking this whole month with us. Thank you to Naya, Ho on the Go, and Ryan of Self-Care University. And of course, now I have Ilana. Oh my God. I'm not taking this out because this is hilarious. We literally were just talking about this. Okay, but Ilana, you may know her as Ilana Talks Sex. Sex with a 3, because, you know, Instagram just hates us when we say the word sex. Go figure. Go figure. But we're going to get down and dirty tonight about the importance of gender neutral sex education, because I feel like now more than ever, as students are going back to school, and there have been, you know, some things in the news, especially between now and May of this year. A lot of things have been changing in the course of sex education. So I'm so happy to have Ilana. I'm going to get it. And I have it on my thing. This is really bad, y'all. This is bad. You know I'm good with notes. But I have Ilana in the house with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you.
I'm like, it's okay. I understand if you want to smack me right now, please.
Not at all. I'm used to it. And here, I'll share the story I told you earlier that when I was at a coffee shop, I got Elon one time, like Elon Musk. So that Halloween, of course, I had to be Elon Musk and my partner at the time was Grimes. And it was—
Yes. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. See? Taking back the name. That's what I like.
Exactly.
So, Ilana, tell us about your journey. You know, you wear many hats. You're a sex educator, a journalist, filmmaker, all around sex positive, just being. I'm trying to even think how I came across you on Instagram. I mean, quarantine really just hit home for a lot of us. And in the sex positive community, I felt like now more than ever, I reached out to a community that was always there, but it's hard to find. So I want to say thank you that to the sex posi gods out there for aligning us, because this is beautiful.
Thank you. No, I agree. I'm so glad that we could meet and connect. And I've also met so many just fantastic sex positive people over quarantine and really getting enmeshed in the Instagram sex ed community. It's just so fantastic.
It is. So what like made you become the sex educator that you are today, or the just being that you are?
Gosh, it's funny. I always thought I was going to be a filmmaker for a very long time when I was in high school. And I ended up going to film school and becoming very discouraged about representation and just about capitalism and all of the hierarchies that are in place within the film industry. And of course that exists, you know, in sex ed and everywhere. But I started writing a very nerdy thesis about the representation of violent, non-normative women in erotic thrillers from 1980 to 2000.
Oof.
I was doing watching a lot of really terrible, sexist, transphobic movies, and doing a lot of research on sex and sexuality. And I realized, wait, this is actually what I wanna do. I really wanna talk about sex and sexuality and gender and relationships and really spread that information. And I still want to have film be a part of who I am and a part of what I do. And I really love talking about representation and sexuality within film. and media in general, but I realized that I want to go more into sex ed and really help folks unlearn a lot of the toxic messaging that we've received over the course of our lives. And I almost feel like I've been kind of going through my own sex education course just in the process of learning and doing all of this, because so much of it is just learning from other folks and sharing our stories and, yeah, just realizing how much you missed out and how much there is to explore, and that we just need to constantly be growing and seeing, you know, ways that we can improve.
Absolutely. I feel personally, like you, as I've gotten older and into my sexuality more, it's ever evolving. I've expressed, you know, for the longest I'm bisexual, but also I have queer tendencies because I, even though I am partnered in a polyamorous relationship with a man, I am more lenient towards feminine beings, more vulva owners than men. Men, it's just a tool. It's kind of like, it's the female energy for me that I'm more attracted to. And also it's just something that has ever so evolved. And I feel like people with the help of sex education don't get to understand that. We always get the surface in our classes. And gosh, even when I was researching, you know, leading up to today, it was amazing of how not even all 50 states right now require sex education, and how less make it inclusive for it being gender neutral or just even supporting community in general, since we are talking, you know, for pride. I'm just like, we wonder why, you know, people walk around, unfortunately, getting assaulted, ignorant when it comes down to the basics of sex, because we don't talk about it. We shun it from the world, and then yet we shun the people who are victimized by ignorance. Because that's really what it comes down to. It's ignorance that causes these never-ending cycles of abuse and trauma, etc. So it's nice to have community out there and people like yourself who are really trying to push the importance of this. Because again, we all got here one way or another using the word sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
We didn't snap our fingers and say, hey, I want to be on Earth today. No, it did not happen that way. So we got to know the proper origins. Now, as we dive into it, I'm sure you heard about the incident in New York last month. I want to say it started last month at the Dalton School, which is a very prestigious private school in New York. But a teacher decided to create a cartoon that was telling kids about masturbation. And it wasn't even in a sleazy way either. I think personally, we should be able to teach our children their body parts the right way. I don't know, how old were you when you learned about a vagina?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, my family is rather sex negative, so I ended up kind of having to figure stuff out on my own, I think. But yeah, I watched the cartoon and it was very, I mean, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But, you know?
I mean, honestly, I thought it was like, you remember back in the day, the We Sing for kids?
No.
Okay, maybe I'm aging myself. Kid Bops.
Oh, yeah.
Kid Bops, Mr. Rogers. I felt like it was just like that. I felt like I was watching like My Little Pony about masturbation. To be honest, that's what it was. And I don't understand why these parents were in such a tizzy. Yes, it was geared towards first graders, but let's be honest, when we were on the playground back in the day, I went to Catholic school, guys were looking up our skirts all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the minute, because we were wearing see-through white shirts, white collared shirts, everybody made fun of the girl who had to wear a bra and no longer an undershirt. You know, the nipples were showing, whatnot. We've all been targeted in unwanted sexual advances, even as children, as kids. So I feel that when this teacher comes across and makes something educational, her name is Justine Ann Fonte. And she also even did a workshop on porn literacy at Columbia University, which I thought was fascinating too, because she broke down, you know, the normatives of porn and breaking down the stigmas of porn and, you know, the things that are misinterpreted in porn. So it's not like she was pushing an agenda rather than educating.
Exactly.
Makes no sense to me why we can't do this.
That's, I guess, the whole argument where people are saying, oh, if you teach kids about sex ed, then they're just going to have lots of sex all the time. And I mean, people are going to have sex regardless of what you do. But that's why we have to have education so that there's consent, that there's communication, that we talk about STIs and we talk about pregnancy and all these different things and talk about relationships and wait, different types of relationships. And it's all just about... it's all about education because it's going to happen whether parents like it or not. I mean, they were kids. There's a reason why they have kids.
Exactly. And that's the funny thing too. You know, when parents, you know, start having babies of their own, it's always fascinating because it's usually the ones who've had the quote unquote fast life, the, you know, the fast childhood, that are the ones that are like, oh no, my kid will never grow up to be gay. My kid is not going to learn about sex. Oh, I don't. No, you got to remember once upon a time you were playing, you know, run and tell that or whatever, spin the bottle, flashing, you know, at concerts at Woodstock. Come on.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
I'm like, grandma, my own 90-year-old grandmother, my grandma's going to be 94 this year. Okay. Yeah. She knows I'm polyamorous, and she even said, honey, it is good to have options. I had options when I was your age.
Amazing. Yes. I love it.
It just, it baffles my mind. So you said growing up, you were in a non-sex positive household. Take us through, because I know that there are people out there who could probably relate.
Sure. I definitely would say that now I think that my parents have changed a lot, but it's because of the kind of work that I've been doing and I've been kind of educating them along the way. But when I was growing up, we always talked about politics and things like that. We were a very open family, but we never talked about sex. My mom can't say the words penis or vagina. Yeah, she just won't say them. And
still to this day.
She will, but she gets really funny about it.
Oh, wow.
She'll just kind of cringe a little bit and she'll even tell me, like, I love you and I love what you're doing, but maybe don't talk about this with me. And I say, okay, that's fair. And a lot of it does come from trauma. Like, my mom had kind of a traumatic upbringing, a lot of various forms of abuse. And so sex has always been kind of something that she doesn't like to talk about. And mm-hmm. then... my parents, it's very much a situation where they were never together when they were with me. They've always slept in separate bedrooms, that sort of situation.
But they were married under the same household.
Yes. Okay. So I guess, I don't think my parents have had sex in probably like 20 years. I was never that kid who would walk in and see their parents having sex on accident or something. That would never have happened because they very much, you know, my mom cringes when she kisses my dad, that kind of thing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So I guess I just grew up kind of not thinking of sex as even kind of an option because I grew in a very sexless household, a very kind of sex negative household. And I love my mom. I love her so much. And I definitely recognize that there's a lot of trauma that comes in regard to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting upbringing. My mom also identifies as asexual.
I was just about to ask if this was an asexual relationship because it was very mm-hmm. much sounding like it.
Wow. Yeah, she didn't always identify as asexual, but post-menopause, she started mm-hmm. identifying as asexual. And yeah, so I grew up thinking, oh, sexuality is kind of bad. I shouldn't feel these feelings. And I didn't actually, it's hard to know if growing up I wasn't experiencing sexual feelings or if I was repressing them. It's so hard to know.
How old were you when you first, I mean, to be the corny person to be like, how old were you when your sexual, you know, awakening came? Like when you first realized like, hey, this is not something that, you know, just has a period or, you know, pees. This is something that is pleasurable. This is something that makes me feel good.
Yeah. So I was masturbating since I was probably 10 years old, but I had no idea that's what I was doing, as I think a lot of people,
absolutely,
especially vulva owners, they don't realize they're masturbating, especially because I would cross my legs instead of kind of more traditional, you know, using your hands or like humping a pillow or something. I would just cross my legs like sitting on a chair, and I would tell people, I'm stretching.
I used to do it all the time in class, mm-hmm, because I would, yeah, love to read. And, you know, I was sitting in those old school desks, the ones that used to like fold out. And so, mm-hmm, it was uncomfortable. And you're sitting there for long periods of the hour. And, you know, I'm just bouncing. And people are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm giddy. It's, mm-hmm, a good day. This history class is great, guys.
Yep. Just the crossing legs, just the bouncing around. Yeah,
it's like by any means necessary.
I don't think I realized, yeah, I didn't realize it was masturbating until I was probably 19.
Hey, we all peak at different ages. It's very interesting to me because I always talk about some of the human sexuality courses I took in college. And, you know, one of the first classes that we took was talking about masturbation and, you know, how you should not publicly shame your kids if they're touching themselves. You know, if you walk in on them, have a conversation and say, hey, next time, leave an indication on the door or lock your door for me time. Or if you're out in public, you know, instead of like making a fuss out of your kid and like slapping their hand, and just pull them to the side and say, hey, honey, this is something we do at home by ourselves in the bathroom, whatsoever. When you started, you know, masturbating and starting to, you know, find out sex, I'm guessing you two, like most of us, sex was coming from wherever you can get it. Cable TV, a dirty magazine, the schoolyard, and whatnot. So then at that point, when did it become like, hey, I want to start re-educating folks. I want to change the narrative of how we're getting these resources out there.
Yeah, so I was just so sexually repressed. I didn't start engaging into any kind of sexual activity until I was 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. And I left, I moved out of state for school. And I think being out of my environment was super, super helpful. I grew up in like a very small town, very, you know, they think they're left, but they're really not.
Yes.
One of those in Northern California. And it was funny because I was always the person that friends would ask for dating advice and sex advice even before I started having sex. But I would always like read a lot, and I'd, you know, I don't know, read Cosmo or whatever, because that's what you did at the time.
Absolutely.
And I probably gave people terrible advice looking back when I was like 16 or something.
I feel you. Even when I listen back to old shows during my college days of Sapphire's Airplay, which was still Erotic City Radio at the time, I'm like, holy shit, Saf, why? What? Girl, what are you doing? Like, this is not, no. Because I too used to, you know, go through Cosmo. And for me, even being a Black woman here in LA, and I lived in what they call Porno Valley. I've lived in the Valley most of my life with the stints of going to school in San Francisco and living a little bit in San Diego, which San Diego is not sex positive at all. Like, very, you know, for the border and whatnot. So for me, it was traumatizing on so many different levels. Being someone who is part of many communities, and it was just very conservative for me to like thrive sexually, financially, the whole nine. But going to San Francisco, like you, going out of my element and going to college, that's where I really like blossomed into my own. Because like you, I masturbated as a kid, but also my parents, especially my mother, because she is a nurse and still is to this day. She used to be a pediatrics nurse. Now she works in postpartum. So she would talk to me about the proper terms. I got in trouble, almost expelled, for using Barbie dolls to tell my friends what a penis and vagina was and what happens on the wedding night without even saying the word sex. Oh yeah. I mean, and like you, I read everything. The human body still this day just fascinates me.
Oh, same.
I mean, we are like, we are machines at the end of the day. And it's crazy. One flick of a button, fireworks can happen. Or the other type of fireworks that we don't want to discuss. But yeah. It's always fascinating me. And then coming into my own with sexuality, I'm still more than ever learning more today. Because again, we're not taught pronouns. Mm-hmm. Pronouns is becoming such a big thing now. And I hate the fact that people are like treating this, that this is a new thing. Or that being trans is a new thing. Because I can't even enjoy old TV shows from the 90s anymore. Sometimes I have to like pause and be like, what the fuck did they just say? Like, it would not fly.
Definitely, you know? Not.
It would not fly. So I'm glad that we're now, in a sense, kind of gravitating towards a more progressive, but I completely am with you where the importance of gender neutral sexuality needs to be taught, because there are, you know, children out there who do not identify as boy, girl. Boy, girl is even just offensive. It's just as wrong as calling someone the N-word or an Asian person the C-word and so on and so forth. If I have to say C-word and you don't understand that it's not kind, I'm gonna need you to go back to take some courses, please. But it fascinates me because even, and I know you know this, on social media, especially on Instagram, there's a lot of misinformation going on with these people who claim to be sex posy. So let's get into that too.
Sure.
Talking about, you know, what would be under the cloud of gender neutral sex, you know, sex education for people who don't understand this movement that is trying to come into place?
Definitely. So what I think of gender neutral sex education, technically I like to think of it as gender neutral and sex neutral education, but that's
a bit weird. Give us the details on sex neutral, because again, these are terms that are coming out and we're like, wait, but sex is just sex. What do you mean sex neutral?
Yeah, so I mean sex in terms of anatomy. So thinking about assigned female at birth, assigned male at birth. And for so many of us, we think of sex as binary. And even for folks who think of gender no longer as binary, there's also this idea of sex being binary, when that's not the case, because there's intersex individuals. And also when you think about just genitalia, all of our genitalia looks so different. Just like, you know, other parts of our bodies look different depending on the person. And how can you really define certain body parts as, you know, male or female necessarily, when intersex individuals exist, when our genitalia differs so vastly? And then also, if you go back to looking at the development of genitalia in the womb, ultimately everyone are the same. You have a genital ridge that forms, I believe, in the fourth week of gestation, and everyone has that genital ridge. Everyone essentially has the same parts, so to speak. And then based on hormone levels and chromosomes, that's when genitalia starts to differ. And so essentially we're all the same. It all just has to do with hormone levels, has to do with chromosomes. And so I like to think of sex neutral education as framing genitalia as genitalia rather than assigning that genitalia any kind of marker.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just, it just brought me back to even thinking about right now with the Summer Olympics coming up. There are more transgendered individuals who are now coming into the field. And now the question is, okay, if they identify as a trans man or trans woman, are they going to be put on the category based off of what they were born as or what they have changed, you know, transitioned into? This is becoming a very huge, you know, issue now, because it's bringing back that people aren't understanding that there are different spectrums. And then I think there's even an individual who's a long distance runner, and I think she's running, or they are running for our team, but they just came out as non-binary. And my dad, who also is a coach, a track coach, he was even asking me like, okay, well, if this person's coming out as non-binary, what do we categorize them as when it comes to the events? Because there is not a non-binary, you know, category, which I feel like It's 2021. Yeah. Why can't we just all compete under one hub, to be honest?
Yeah. Why I honestly don't know anything about sports, but I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm selective with my sports, but I've always, like, now as I'm, like, thinking about it more and more, and as we are progressing in society, I like to say that we are trying to, you know, that there are pioneers out there who are trying to recreate the way society views many people. And yes, unfortunately, we are being set back with everything. But at the same time, I feel like it is time to kind of restructure, you know, sports and entertainment. You know, you were talking about movies and representation. I think we all can agree when we're talking Oscars, even best actress, best actor, why can't it just be best performer?
Agreed. Yep.
If we have a best director, we don't have female director category. We just have director. We have a cinematographer. So why can't we have best performer? One category. It all comes down.
And then every year when it's the best actress nominees, it's always, you know, best actress as a role as a wife. Mm-hmm. Wife number one, wife number two.
Or slave.
Yep, that too.
Oppressed, you know, they have to be homeless, oppressed. I mean, it all goes under these same spectrums. You know, people think that trans people are sick in the head because they want to wake up one day and just say, I'm a woman, I'm a man. That's not how it works, but this is what society views it as. You know, I even heard so quote unquote sex positive or sex and dating podcasts that are like, well, the gays are all just sex hungry. I live in a community where that's all it is. I walk around West Hollywood or I walk down, you know, in New York and that's all it is. You just see a bunch of titties, ass, dicks all flopping all over the place. And that's the gay community for you. And I'm like, that's not though. No, that it's not.
I had to read for my thesis so much terrible conservative content. Like, you know who Phyllis Schlafly is?
I want to say that last name does sound very familiar.
Yeah, maybe I'm mispronouncing it. Gosh, although I mean,
is it Slackly? Slatch?
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Well, terrible person.
Yes.
So don't feel too bad about mispronouncing. I mean, no offense, but also, I mean, yeah, she was a big proponent of, you know, anti-gay movements in the 80s. But I read her book for my thesis, and I was just. It's one of those people who, oh, I'm a feminist and, or, you know, I believe that women should stay in the home because that is their job to support the man. And if you, and by, you know, letting women be in the workforce, then, you know, you're denying them the happiness of the home or, you know, things like that.
It always cracks me up, like even watching... Oh my God, there was a show on FX that was talking about various women in politics. I'm blanking out on it right now. But one of the women in it, similar, you know, she was marching to Washington and it was a real thing. It was a movement on Washington to kind of stop women from being in power and to get back into the kitchen.
Wait, I think
that is her.
About her.
Yes, that
it's
is
about
her.
And Kate Blanchett plays her.
Yes.
Yes, that was great.
That was her. And I was just like, this is the, because we always hear about the stories of Gloria Steinem, and I love how, you know, they made it almost seem like she was just very promiscuous, which I did not like that aspect. I'm like, really, Gloria was much more than that. But at the same time, yes, they made her to be this like sex symbol for the women's movement, and they made Kate Blanchett's real life character to be this like evil, anti-feminine woman. And I agree, you can be a feminist. It is okay to be feminist. But also, I think it sets us back when you say that you're a feminist, but you believe that women should know their place. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit too much for me. Because again, a woman should, or any vulva owner, anyone in general, should have the free and right to do whatever the fuck they want to do. It doesn't need to be categorized by color. It's not a blue pink thing anymore. Fucking make it the ends of the rainbow. We all love rainbow. okay? We dress our kids in rainbow gear until they learn what the rainbow means. And then it's like, oh no, get rid of it all. It's black or white, kids. Like, that's it. You know, it almost, it's like when we like categorize in school the goth kid, oh, they're dressed in black and they want to wear, you know, the palest of face, they must be depressed. It's not the case. You can be goth and happy. You can be gay and happy. You can be gay and depressed. You can be straight and depressed.
Yep.
It's not categorized by these colors. And I feel, again, it brings it back to the neutral sex education, because again, it's not always black and white. It's not just female, male, and that's the only way to make a baby. We got test tube babies now, people. We have surrogacy out there. Handmaid's Tale, for God's sake, should be taught in every school.
I read The Handmaid's Tale in high school.
Same. Yeah. It's like, again, people are like, wait, you went to a Catholic school and they let, and I was like, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, they try to put in the whole God-fearing thing on there. But at the same time, I was happy and fortunate that I did get to read Handmaid's Tale and that it wasn't, you know, stripped of mine. I was happy that I was given a non-faith-based sex education in middle school as well as high school. Because I went to, I went to Catholic school from first grade to 12th grade. And so while, yes, it was still like penis, vagina, didn't go into much of the lesbian, gay, straight, and I had to, you know, use my own resources, go online, ask my mom about things, ask my dad about things, there was still some part of sex education that was flourishing in the household and into the classrooms. But again, the misinformation is just, ugh. What do you tell people out there, especially now, because we see it, the repetitiveness, the stolen content of sex educators who are getting ripped off by trendsetters, as I just the faux sex posy people. I know we follow each other on Instagram. You've probably seen me call out people for being faux supporters. You know, you can't say that you support black sex educators, but then you unfollow me because I just am too real in the face. You can't do that. You can't be that. So how do you tell people out there, like, how to tell a true sex positive blog versus someone who is clearly just doing this for the likes, for the money?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about, you know, being intersectional, the term coined by Kimberly Crenshaw. And everything is intersectional. Everything is related. You can't talk about sex without talking about gender, without talking about race, without talking about ableism, without talking about classism, without talking about everything that exists in society. I mean, not only are you just not including folks, it's just not accurate. It's not accurate in any kind of form. And if you're just doing it for the likes and follows, I mean,
I definitely look down on those educators and bloggers who clearly get their toys from Amazon, first and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're getting any of your sex toys from Amazon, I'm looking at you differently. Like, really? You couldn't go to a regular sex store like Pleasure Chest, which is in New York in LA, or go to Good Vibes in San Francisco. These places, by the way, you guys, I've always plugged them in and I'm not getting paid for it. They all follow me because they know I hit the stores and I spend the time and I spend the money and I go to the classes. The classes are free, by the way, that these places offer, and everybody is certified. That's where I think also comes into play, is the fact that there are a lot of sex stores that are out there and they don't have proper certified individuals selling these toys.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was with a friend the other day and we were just kind of walking around and we happened to go into, you know, that chain Secrets.
Oh, yes.
Yep. And I think probably 95% of all the stuff there, it was all, you know, rubber, non-ASB plastic. And
It makes me wonder, like, how the hell are these businesses even allowed to sell the products that they can sell? Because it's like, okay, you are not offering anything for the spectrum. They're very heteronormative toys. Like you said, they're plastic. And I can't have anything plastic in my body, just like most people. I can't even have latex products. And most of the time, there's a lot of latex. Latex lube, latex dongs. I can't have any of that. I am literally alert. I can touch latex with my hands. I cannot put it in my orifices. I break out in hives.
Gosh, yeah.
It happens, guys. And that's the thing too. People don't understand that. When people ask me all the time, like, hey, what's a good toy? And I'm like, well, first of all, what are you allergic to? Okay. Then what kind of lube do you have laying on the house? Oh, I just use spit. Well, first of all, I'll get rid of the spit. It's like, unless if it's like your close partner and you guys frequently get tested, you know that their oral care is to the T. Please stop spitting on genitals.
Yeah,
please. And that's the thing too. I wish that they would teach us that in sex ed. I wish that, first of all, if we're going to talk about sex in, you know, and educate folks, why are we not having talks about consent?
Yep. I didn't have any kind of course on consent until college. I mean, in high school, it was all just, you know, put the condom on the banana and that sort of thing. When that's just that it's so important. And also not just consent in terms of, I think consent in terms of, yes, in terms of everyone is consenting to what's happening, but also making sure that folks actually enjoy what's happening, because there's a difference between consenting to what is occurring and actually liking it. And I think that a lot of folks maybe engage in certain things because they think that's what they're supposed to like, especially because of the way that society is so heteronormative. People think, oh, I should enjoy penetration because that's what sex is. That's not what sex has to be. Sex can be anything you want it to be. Sex can be cuddling. Sex can be rimming. Sex can be using a dildo. Sex can be masturbating. Whatever you want it to be, that's sex.
Sex can be verbal, y'all. I tell people, if you're listening to this podcast, we're having sex every week. Every Sunday, we're having sex because I am stimulating parts of your body. I'm stimulating your ears, stimulating your mind. We're giving full frontal consent. You know, at the beginning, when you listen to this episode, there is a trigger warning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like consent is one thing that should be mandatory. And I, going back, again, I found it very interesting, again, that there is only sex education required in California, Colorado, New Jersey, Oregon, Rhode Island, Washington, and DC. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. And then five more states, and here's the separate part, Delaware, Iowa, Massachusetts, South Carolina, and Wisconsin require sex education, include information on sexual orientation and gender identity, but it does not affirm any discrimination against those part of the LGBTQ plus community. And why am I saying plus? Because there is IA and whatnot. And stop making the jokes online saying what next is going to be every fucking letter of the alphabet. Take that straight behavior and shove it our head up your ass.
Exactly. Yep.
Now, it's not. And in April, in Arizona, Doug Ducey vetoed a bill that would have had barred the discussion of gender identity, sexual orientation, or HIV and AIDS in education class in sex ed. What do you mean you cannot talk about HIV and AIDS? If we could talk about COVID, if we can have a shot for COVID, don't even get me started on that because it still angers me. Even though I'm vaxxed, I'm still like, why the fuck and how the fuck is it that quickly we were able to get a remedy for COVID, a protection for COVID, but we are still fighting almost, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
For the simple shot or cure of AIDS so people can no longer take cocktails that are clearly only targeted to certain individuals.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. And then when we talk about the discrimination, look at Texas and what they wanted to do with their bills and saying that we can legally fire somebody for being trans.
It's so frustrating, gosh. And I mean, even the correlation of a lot of these states that have this, trying to pass this legislature, are often have a lot of anti-maskers and their Congress folks. And there's definitely a correlation there.
Absolutely. And that's what pisses me off the most, though, because it's mostly the ones who are in Congress are still the same ones who support sex work, but don't want to come out publicly. And that's why I said someone out there needs to blow the whistle once and for all. We had Sydney Leathers back in the day, shout out to her, with the wiener photos, but that was just one.
Right.
That was one. Anthony Wiener, not just actual wiener, but yes. I mean, a lot of I feel like sex education comes under the whole umbrella of sex work. We need to stop saying that sex workers are bad influencers. Sex has been around since the dawn of time. You look at media, sex sells. We know it. We can't turn on a Carl's Jr. commercial and not get fucking turned on because a hot chick, you know, spilt a couple drops of ketchup on her booty or on her tit.
Yep. Oh gosh, I remember those ads.
Oh my God. Even like now they just have like the burger in a sexual manner to get to people who get off to food.
Right.
We see it all the time. So that's why I just never understood why when we're taking these sex education courses, even when I talk to my cousins and I ask them like, what do you guys, like, what do they teach you guys now? And one of my cousins was like, well, I didn't even know how to put on a condom because our teacher refused to bring bananas in. She said, and I quote, it would make the boys feel uncomfortable. And we all know what she meant by that.
Oh my gosh.
It would make the boys feel uncomfortable because they're going to want to have sex. But if you don't want to touch your own penis to protect yourself.
Wow.
What? I'm sorry. It's more uncomfortable that I have a teacher that thinks that, it's okay to teach me sex, but not teach me how to have sex properly.
It makes absolutely no sense. I didn't understand.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I get angered by ever since I had the diagnosis of herpes. And going, let's talk a little bit about online dating safeties, because now people are coming out of quarantine. Everybody's horny. I get angered that I have to specifically go out of my way to sex stores to find dental dams, or I have to go online and spend like $40 for a pack of dental dams when I can go down the street and get plenty of condoms. But oh, I can't get condoms. I have to ask the representative to unlock it. I would say let the kids steal fucking condoms. Let them steal the condoms. It's better than stealing pills.
Honestly.
If I can get gloves, why can't I get fucking dental dams?
Exactly. I mean, there's the trick of, using a condom and then cutting it in half. But a lot of folks don't know that. And they don't teach that in school.
They don't.
They should teach that in school.
They absolutely should. You know, again, the things that they needed to teach, I think the first course in sex education. Let's give a rundown of what we think when we're talking about, you know, sex education and neutral sex education. I think that we should discuss first consent, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Then discussing about how to go about navigating getting sex. We don't talk about that either. Yes, it's under the umbrella term of consent, but we can't just walk. I can't go up to you and be like, hey, you look good. Come sit on my face.
Exactly. You can't just do that.
You can't. And even on dating apps, I'm sick of people saying, well, this is Tinder. This is what it's for.
No. And I used to have that I was a sex educator in my profile, but the amount of creepy comments you get from folks and asking you questions. And one time somebody kept asking me if I liked anal. And so I sent them a long description of how to do it safely.
What did they say after that?
I didn't know how to respond to that. I think they were just, oh, cool or something. And then I unmatched them after that.
Oh my God. But yeah, it's like, it really makes me question. Unfortunately, I always get mad at my females out there because for every asshole guy on these apps that have asked these questions, there is an insecure woman out there. And I'm not trying to say women, we're insecure. No, I'm saying ladies, stop allowing this behavior to happen. If you knew he was trash dick, why are you sending the trash dick back out there to cause more toxicity in the world?
That's true.
Fellas, why are you fucking women who are giving you toxic pussy?
Yeah.
And for all my, you know, non-binary folks out there, stop getting queer baited by people who, you know, say that they are one thing and they're clearly not. Mm-hmm. Stop allowing this behavior to happen. And for all the people who are questioning out there, please, please be honest with yourself. How do you identify yourself, by the way?
Yeah, I identify as bisexual and queer. I like everyone.
So when you are going on to these apps, and this again goes on to the fourth of education, I personally get a little weary when I come across someone who is questioning or they're trying to like try something new, because my thing is I know who I am and it's taken me a long time to know what I want, but I know what I want and I don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable. I'm talking to a woman right now who is a little bit in between the spectrum. You know, she and we had like a nice little poly date together on Friday. We've now hung out 3 times and, you know, she's not fully into women, but she has said, I'm attracted to you because you make me, you know, comfortable. That to me is fine because she was very outright straight off the bat, was just like, you know, I usually don't play with women. I'm usually kind of, you know, I teeter totter. How do you feel when you're going out there and you're meeting people who are questioning, are you receptive to it? Like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I think it's all about intention. Also, I think this applies to folks who are maybe opening up their relationship for the first time too. It has to do with intention. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with, you know, I think it's a good thing to experiment and question, and everyone should, you know.
Absolutely.
Sexuality is so fluid. Gender is so fluid. I think most people question their identity. Not even in terms of sex and gender, but just in general, everybody's questioning who they are. It's a part of being a human. But it's all about communication and being upfront and saying, this is where I am. This is what I want. These are my boundaries. And then asking the other person the same thing.
Absolutely. And I think, again, these are things that we have to discuss in the form of education. And I think it has to be continuously. Like, yes, in the workplace, we learn about, you know, sexual harassment. I work for iHeartMedia. They are now starting to be progressive on adding pronouns and how to address, you know, that coworker that may not be male or female. And I love how they have sort of leaned into it. You could tell that they obviously have done the research, which is great. I just wish that people would apply that more to a day-to-day basis, because not every workspace is going to cater to that. Just like, I personally think that dating apps, more than ever, should have some type of like go-to course.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And also they should include pronouns in the bio.
They should have maybe a quick link, you know, kind of pronouns dictionary.
Yes.
Like a glossary of some sort for all the terminologies that we see, because there's some, you know, terms that I have to look up, because when people put like NB, I didn't know what NB was for the longest. You know, people were talking about being introverts and they put like INFS, like we've all seen it.
Right.
And so I genuinely think that the world would be a better place if we start now, because everybody's moving on to the digital platforms. I think that we should all do the research. We should all take the time and communicate what we want. And I feel like we have been so repressed for so long in expressing what we want, because again, we've been failed by the system.
Exactly. We have- and so much has to do with capitalism too, and colonialism. And I mean, gender only exists essentially because of colonialism and because of ideas of Western civilization, and this is what a man should be, and this is what a woman should be. And in so many different cultures, gender is a lot more fluid.
Absolutely. Not to mention, let's just go on to the basis of marriage. Mm-hmm. Marriage is an institutionalized idea. Yes. People have been polyamorous and polygynous and, you know, sleeping in separate beds for the longest, since the dawn of time. You even opened up with the show and said your parents did not sleep in the same bed your entire childhood. And people don't talk about that, and because they think, well, if you're married, you got to sleep in the same bed. You got to live under the same household, and you got to have sex at least once a week, even if you have to schedule it. That doesn't give the keys to a happy marriage.
Exactly. And so many folks, I mean, I think a lot of people feel pressured into having the whole relationship escalator, and then they end up in situations that aren't beneficial for them because of society.
Absolutely.
They get married too fast. Maybe they have kids too fast, or I don't know, they end up in a monogamous relationship when that maybe doesn't work for them. And I also identify as non-monogamous and polyamorous, and yeah.
I just raised the roof because I'm like, yes, more people in my community. But I honestly, like, I really feel that the popularization with, you know, polyamory and non-monogamy. I'm watching a show right now, and it's like Why Women Kill, or Women Who Kill. You know, the first season is about a throuple in 2019. And it's like, I don't know who kills who just yet, but it's throupleism to the wrong extent. And that's why I always get mad when I'm watching shows, because I first get excited as soon as I see a queer person on TV. I'm like, holy shit, I got to tell my friends. There's like a meme going around that's like, see a queer person on TV, you tell all your queer friends. You know, and now more than ever, people are now trying to break in, you know, polyamory and non-monogamy, but it's still like, this is still teaching toxic monogamous ways. This is still talking about jealousy. We still are fighting to find shows that actually show people putting on condoms.
Didn't Insecure get a lot of backlash about that because they weren't showing condoms?
Insecure got some flack. I know that, oh my God, Michaela Cohen's show.
I May Destroy You.
I May Destroy You was even getting flack. They're like, that's not, well, you know, people who didn't understand, they were like, this is too much. You can't, why are you talking about stealthing? This is not something that's real. I'm like, stealthing is very much a thing. That entire show, people didn't want to see trauma. And I think that show in general is something, again, schools should teach, should show.
That show was fantastic. And also the fact that it wasn't nominated for any Emmys.
I'm part of SAG. I'm part of SAG. And the fact that I was one of those people that was very vocal in these meetings to be like, what do you mean one of the number one stream shows of the year is not on here? Why? Because it shows a woman dealing with trauma, a black woman dealing with trauma in London, because it's not relatable, because like, it's very relatable.
So relatable. Gosh. And then Emily in Paris gets nominated when everyone's making fun of that terrible trash show.
I tried. I saw the description of it and I'm like, oh no, I'm done. I'm done. But that's what angers me. It's like you see people of color getting misrepresented, and then you have shows like Insecure, you have shows that like I May Destroy You, there's even the show Betty right now on HBO Max and HBO. I think it's one of the most queerest real coming to earth coming of age stories, along with Generation. I think those two, HBO is doing something right. Some of the stories are kind of like wild. I mean, Generation, the first season opens up with a teen girl who didn't know she was pregnant, giving birth in a mall bathroom. And you're like, what the fuck is this? But at the same time, it literally deals with queer identity. It deals with, you know, sexuality and, you know, this, the things that us as teens, you know, growing up wish we had. I honestly give it up to, you know, the new queer babies that are coming out of this age, because they are more hip and wise, and they do have the tools to make us better than what we have. I'm hoping. I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm just like, they're a little bit more smarter than us on social media. They know what they're doing. They know who they are. And they're not going anywhere. I think that's the problem too. People want to erase this whole like, oh, June is the month to be gay, but come July, it's all about America. It's all about, you know, home of the free.
No, I'm not celebrating 4th of July. I don't think I've celebrated 4th of July since I was like very little and forced to with family.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to do plans for the 4th. Like, yes, I'll watch Hamilton. Yes, I'm going to wear all black because this country is still mourning. Right. And I'm going to get drunk, but I'm not going to say, woo, go America. It's more fuck America. I'm still going to wake up black, you know, queer and hated. And I'm a woman. And you want to police my pussy.
Gosh.
It's so much. I feel like there's so much that we have to do better on. So much better. So if you're listening out there, they're like, damn, you guys really went all over the spectrum. That's because sex is all over the spectrum.
Exactly. Sex education is so much. And going back to what we were talking about with relationship styles and polyamory, that should be in sex education too. That should be in classes. Talking about sex work should be in classes. Talking about pornography and ethical pornography should be in school. All of us talk content, talking about the intersections of race and sexuality, talking about even just representation in media is so important, because so much of what we know about sex is from television, it's from movies. And, you know, looking at this content and saying, hey, this is great, this is maybe not so great.
Absolutely.
Kind of filtering it out, and also giving folks the tools so that they know what to look for, and also that they can analyze the things, that not everything you read is going to be correct. Even not all of your teachers are going to be correct. Not everyone you think of as some kind of mentor is necessarily going to have all the answers. And that's why you have to talk to multiple people. That's why you have to do your research. That's why you don't want to get all of your information just from like white, rich institutions. You have to go beyond that.
You really do. It brings me up to, as we enclose, there was an incident earlier this week on Ho on the Ghost page. They had posted something about a hoe picnic that was going down in Oakland, which was great.
Yeah.
And there was someone in the comments that asked Naya them, hey, what is an abortion doula?
I saw that, right.
All this girl had to do, because this person, and here's the kicker too. She also says that she was non-binary, but also identified as she, her, and they. So one, you already are putting in your bio that is private that you are sex positive. If you start putting out these pronouns and you start coming off as somebody who's listing out all the proper names, but then you're going to do some shit like this, turns around and Naya's like, hey, go to my last like two slides. The information's right there. The girl fires back and says, oh, that's okay, I'll just go to Google. It's easier. So me being me, you're not gonna talk to my friends like that, first and foremost, as an educator. You're not gonna pull this shit. I was like, you are an embarrassment to the community. How dare you come onto their page, ask them, and when they give you the resource, they give you the tools, you shun it off with, that's too much work. I'm sorry.
There are so many white queers who just act like that, and just white educators, honestly, who don't do their research, don't respect people, think that, oh, you know, I'm super left and all because of my identity. That makes zero sense.
Right. Like, key phrase, white people, white educators, putting black BLM in your bio, putting sex positive, poly am, Just because you're putting out the terminologies, I'm gonna need you to do the work and stop stealing the work of Black sex educators. Yep. There's a girl walking around trying to steal my name of the show, coming in off it as her own. And what does Instagram do to me? Shadow bans me.
Of course.
Won't let me get verified. Won't let me get verified. Because why? I edit porn and I also talk about sex. But oh, forget the fact that she's on an all Black news channel for iHeart. Forget all the work that she does in radio in general. It's, oh, you promote sex. We can't verify you. Again, this all comes under the umbrella of education. Because these are the same people who are probably just Googling all the wrong things, copy and pasting all the wrong things, and then quickly want to block everybody because we are trying to re-educate you. We are trying to help you not look like a damn idiot.
Mm-hmm. I've been blocked by a few of those.
It's crazy. And I love your content. I really do. You talking about, you know, smashing the patriarchy and again, putting not just like a face and name to education and talking about consent. I think when I first approached you, you were really about like, I'm all about the consent. I'm all about educating and re-educating. I'm like, I gotta have you on because this is what it's all about. This is what we've been discussing this whole time. I feel like I can talk to you hours, countless hours about this, but I want you to know that first and foremost, you are more than welcome to any time to come on the show. But I really want people to understand that what you're doing is not bullshit work. You are not following anybody else's footsteps. You are in your own lane. You stay in your own lane, but you also come out and show when it's needed. And I appreciate you for that because a lot of us don't get seen. And you help. You are one of those people that help us get seen. I've seen you repost, you know, not just from white educators, but people of color. And that's something that we need more. You help give the voice of people of color in this industry, in this community. And I thank you for that. I truly do.
Well, thank you for having me. And I admire you and your work so much. It's just so incredible. And gosh, sex education space.
We need it.
I feel so loved. And
It's good to be seen. It's good to feel seen. Now, as we wrap up, where can people get in touch with you? Do you have any upcoming events that, you know, maybe you want to share so people, you know, can get more of you?
Sure. So you can follow me on Instagram at Ilana Talks Sex, sex with a 3, because as you said before, Instagram hates us and we can't use the real letter. I have non-monogamy guides and I have self-pleasure guides on my website if you would like to check them out. They're on sale right now for Pride Month. Ooh. And if you buy both of them, you get a little discount. I believe they're $15 for both, which is a pretty good deal. And they're great for you for figuring out yourself, to do with partners, just kind of see where you're at in your own sexuality journey. And again, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You are so, so welcome. And of course, I'm going to make sure that the links are in the episode description of this so you have instant access to Ilana. Yes, I got it right. Yes.
Just all is well. Elon Musk. Because I'm totally a capitalist.
Oh, yeah. And you're totally taking us to space soon, right?
Yeah, totally.
Now, earbuds, don't forget, next week, of course, we are taking off from the 4th and we will be kicking off a new month. So coming back July 11th, July 11th is going to be a great one. You may have seen her on a Red Table Talk talking about polyamory, but we're going to get down and dirty and get the real nitty gritty facts because I'm going to have Gabrielle Alex on the show July 11th. Ilana is just like, she's elated. She's happy. So yes, we are going to get down and get to the true facts about polyamory and the representation that it's sending. Because again, as we just briefly said, this is not a trend. This is something that is very serious and the lifestyle will not be made a mock of. So we are going to get down and dirty about some true poly chats with Gabrielle Alex in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yes. It's going to be great. So remember, earbuds, that safe sex is the best hot sex. And of course, you can follow me at Ms. Radio Sapphire. That's MSRADIOSAPPHIRE. Or simply follow Sapphire's Earplay. That's SAPPHIRESEARPLAY on Instagram. Till next time, good night.
That was the show, all you sexy motherfuckers out there. Now remember, Ms. Radio Sapphire on Instagram, Twitter. For more Earplay fun, go to iTunes, all podcasting platforms.